Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. We want you to stay tuned. We have a very great show tonight. I hope this song, I Am the Treasure, blesses your soul. Stay tuned.
From the day I was born,
bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I'm so glad all of you had chose to tune in tonight to our show. I hope you are all blessed. I hope all is well. I hope your families are well. We've been praying for you here on Dirty Church Radio because I know a lot of you have been going through different trials and different struggles during this situation, and we truly have you in our prayers, and we pray that God just keep you covered. I just want to bless you all with another song tonight that myself and one of my friends, Mr. Shane Fatboy Wilson, wrote. It's a song called I'll Bless Your Name Forever. God bless.
That lives in me will unlock the door of victory. Have faith and believe and receive.
our co-host and our brother Aaron, the Devil's Advocate Bradley, to call in. I believe a few people are going to be running late. We understand everybody's been hit by this storm in different ways, different measures, and trying to handle a lot of family things. But at Dirty Church Radio, we feel as though it's important, even through all of this, that we have a platform for people to come on and express themselves, even dealing with all these issues that we're dealing with in this day and time. I'm praying tonight that you all, whoever calls in, will have an open mind. We never judge anyone on this show based upon their opinions or what their personal experiences or even what they're struggling with. What we do here on Dirty Church Radio is we first will pray for them, and we pray that God will give them insight, that God will begin the healing process with a lot of us that may be dealing with bitterness we've been holding on to for years, decades at a time. And I'm just looking forward to hearing from God's creation tonight and the testimonies that we may encounter. I believe it will truly be a blessing to all of us to learn from. I believe it will be something that God is ready to bless us through each other's gifts. Right now, we're going to let our Apostle Lewis Young on. How you doing, Apostle?
Grace and peace, Jay. Minister Mel, how you doing?
Good, man. Good, man. I'm so glad you was able to come on the show tonight with me, man.
Yeah, I'm in the car riding, so...
Well, I know you. I've told you earlier what the topic was for tonight. You know, we're going to be talking about surviving the fears of the mind.
And all right, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, because, you know, we all facing some stuff, man. We all dealing with some stuff. And we understand that the battle begins in the mind.
That's where it starts.
That take place. Everything starts in the mind. You either gain victory in your mind or you'll be defeated in your mind. It's only two options. You're either going to be victorious in your mind or you're going to be defeated in your mind. And it's based upon, normally defeat comes when fear overtakes
the mind.
You know what I'm saying? And I know God said he did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and of a sound mind.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? So that is something that we must really focus on, but it's hard to focus on those things when we're actually feeling the physical hurt and pain of life.
That's
right. I mean? It's because life is real.
We're dealing with real issues.
You know what I mean? On here. You know, we go to church, we can hear a word and it will bless us, but some of us are leaving church and we're going right back to that broken home.
We're going
right back, you know what I mean,
right
to that abusive husband or to that bitter wife. I mean, it's so many stuff we're facing, you know what I'm saying? And I believe tonight is a night where we can truly be, it can truly be an outlet for us to actually deal with and confront some of these fears, that they would no longer be phobias in our lives, chains and fetters keeping us bound from going forward. But I believe it's time for us to get free from a lot of these fears that we hold on to.
Yes.
A lot of us are fearful of being successful because we look at other people's failures. We look at other people's mistakes and dilemmas, and then we mirror those situations and compare it to our life, and then it hinders us because when we look in the mirror, all we see is others' failures, but we never actually understand or see the victory that God wants, what he's trying to reflect for us to see. You understand what I'm saying, Apostle Young?
Yes, I most certainly do.
So tonight, you just calling in, I feel this topic is a topic that I believe is something in you that you really, you know, got some good insight on this, and it's something that, you know, you can really, I just feel led for you to actually just take us somewhere with this conversation, man, dealing with the fears of the mind. And I believe that you as an apostle, a man of God, I believe that it is a requirement and an assignment, because I told you on the other day, right now we're over 4,000 listeners. God has blessed us in 3 weeks to establish over 4,000 listeners that are all over the United States, even in Canada. People are listening. People are tuning in to Dirty Church Radio. And I think it is something great because this is a place where no topic or issue is out of bounds. We will talk about any issue. It doesn't matter what the struggle is, what the battle is, what you're dealing with, what type of lifestyle you're living. You can call in on Dirty Church Radio, and you can unleash some of that stuff that you've been holding on that have been creating different sicknesses and bitterness in your life. Some of us, man, you know what the main thing, especially with men, I can speak for men, and I said this last night, Apostle, do you agree that we try to hold so much stuff in because we claim that we're supposed to be the man and we never actually release that stuff out?
That's right. You hold it in because of the image of a man. The image of a man is supposed to be strong. The image of a man is supposed to be able to bear on his shoulders the things that women can't bear. And all that is true, but listen, at the end of the day, you still human. At the end of the day, you still flesh. At the end of the day, you're not Superman. So you need to have somebody that you can release these things to that won't judge you, that won't make you feel inferior, won't make you feel like you less than, but can appreciate the fact that you realize that in your madness, in your manhood, you're fallible. In your manhood, you're apt to error. And when you learn to embrace that as a man, you'll be able to deal with certain things that you go through a little bit better because it's okay. And that's a word for somebody on tonight. It's really okay. You ain't gonna always be perfect. And we as men, We feel like, you know, because we the man, that, you know, everything's supposed to be right, everything's supposed to be perfect. And guess what? It's not going to always be that way. Some months going to be worse than other months. Some years going to be worse than other years. Some decades going to be better than other decades. And guess what? It's okay. It's all right. And in life, these things happen. But how you deal with these things is what we're going to talk about on tonight, Minister Miller. That's what we're really going to dig into on tonight and deal with this fear thing. This fear thing is serious.
Okay.
It's real serious. And if you're not careful, fear is one of the greatest crippling agents that the enemy uses to cripple your mind. If he can cripple your mind, he can detour your destiny. If he can cripple your mind, he can detour your destiny. And one of the greatest ways he uses to do that is the fear agent. Fear of stepping out. Fear of seeing somebody else try to do what God is saying you're supposed to do, but you don't see somebody to do what you're trying to do. You watch them fail. But just because they fail, don't mean that it's on your hands to fail. And see, if that can make you concentrate on the what ifs in your situation.
Wow. Hello? Hello?
You see how the devil do me? Whenever I get the phone, he start cutting me off.
Yeah, you seen that, right?
Yeah, man. That's how it always happens. But this word got to get out tonight. It got to come out tonight. So that's why I called right back.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad you called right back.
You know
what? Before you even go there, right, I just wanted to read this one scripture. And I know we probably read many scriptures tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to read, it's, and be not conformed to this world,
but
be transformed
by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yes.
And I knew you was going to tap into that, so I just felt like reading it.
That's right.
I know that was one area that you was going to tap into. So you can even take it from there. I just wanted to read the scripture tonight.
And it's a good thing you read that scripture, because we touching and agreeing tonight that every listener that's listening to this broadcast on tonight, there's something that's going to be said that's going to make you alter and change your mind about some things, even in your own life. Because tonight is going to be a night that's going to alter your way of thinking. Tonight is going to be that night to make you look at that situation. And that's a word for somebody on tonight. Tonight, you're going to be able to sit down after this broadcast and look at some things and reevaluate things with a new mind. Because a lot of people that's listening to this broadcast, men and women, you need your mind to be renewed on tonight. So that the devil got to go to the drawing board 2 and 3 times, because now those old tactics after tonight, those old tactics that used to run against you, they ain't going to be able to work no more after tonight.
Wow.
That stuff that kept you bound, kept you scared to launch out into the deep and do some things. And guess what? The Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings. I don't care if it's a baby step that you take. Take the step. Take the step. Don't let the enemy keep you captive with fear after tonight. After tonight, you're going to be able to walk out, even if it's a small step. You're going to be able to take that step. And as you take the step, you're going to begin to see those walls of fear, those walls of condemnation, those walls, the different walls that the enemy built around you with your help. Yeah, I'm going to say that. With your help, you was handing the devil the brakes. Wherever you went, to keep you caged up so that you wouldn't step out and launch out and do the visions and the dreams and the ideas that God gave you. Some of y'all got ideas that y'all done had 20 years ago, and because of fear, you've been scared to step out. But we're going to speak on tonight that after tonight, you will have no more fear. If you know God said it, you're going to be able to launch out on it and step on that thing, knowing that if God said it, if he showed it to you, he's going to give you the resources that you need to get the job done. And so I'm telling you, this thing is in my spirit. It's in my spirit. Heavy on tonight. No more fear. Fear starts in your mind. Whenever the Lord gives you an idea, as soon as he plants that idea in your spirit, the head of the devil telling you, you ain't going to be able to do that.
Wow.
And that's what the Bible says. You got to cast down all imaginations that come against the knowledge of God. If God is telling you you can do it, and then in your left hand, the enemy telling you you can't, but we're not seeing it even can get germinated, you got to cast that seed down. You got to kill that seed. You got to kill it. As soon as the devil comes telling you what you can't do, if God told you what you can, you have to have enough God sense in you to know that God ain't going to tell you to do something that you're not qualified to do.
Apostle
if God is telling you to do it, you're qualified to get it done.
Apostle Gunn, let me ask you this question real quick. Are you talking on the speakerphone?
Yeah, because I'm driving. Am I echoing?
On the phone? Yeah, it's echoing a little bit, your speakerphone.
Hold on. Yeah, because, you know, when I get to going, I get to going.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to be able to hear you clear.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you sound a whole lot better now.
All right.
Just to let you know, we got Pastor Boone on the line tonight, too.
All right.
Let
the preacher go ahead and have something to say while I'm driving.
I think, personally, I thank God for the opportunity to be on the show once again. I think fear is a very, very powerful thing that's really gripping the church, gripping believers, gripping people's lives as a whole. It's just amazing to me how, like, when Hurricane Sandy, just the word of Hurricane Sandy coming across the airways, people, like, panic. people like bought out generators. Even now, you're seeing a mass panic in society, in the community. Panic for, like, I just heard today, my wife was telling me how, like, they was running out of gas. And people were, like, lined up trying to get as much gas as possible. As if, like, gas is not going to be there tomorrow. So it's a fear that's really, really gripping society. And we as believers, we have the answer to that fear, which is Jesus Christ. I think as referring to what Apostle was saying, as far as, like, dealing with failing to launch out, failing to pursue dreams, visions, and goals that God has placed in your heart to pursue, I think a lot of that comes from a fear of failure. And what people misunderstand is that failure is a way to success. You have to fail in order to succeed. Because failure builds character. It teaches you things that you wouldn't have learned if you just was an overnight success. And like people understand that most overnight success oftentimes end up ending overnight. But those success that took time to build, took time to rebuild and failed, those are the ones that are able to last a long standing period of time because they're not afraid to fail because they've experienced failure. So you can't be afraid to fail in this season. You can't be afraid to bump your head. You can't be afraid to fall down. You gotta have enough faith to know, okay, you know what? I may fall down, but at least I tried. And after a while, when you continue with that mentality, God will reward you because of your effort. You gotta understand, God doesn't reward you because of your ability. He rewards you because of your effort. When you give effort, because you gotta be honest, most of the time when God calls you to do something, He'll never call you something that you'd be able to do by yourself. He always called you to be able to do something that requires faith to do. He always requires you to do something that will cause you to trust him a little bit more. If you could do it, then there would be no need for faith.
Yes, that's true.
If you could handle your bills, there's no need for faith. But what God will do is he will place you in seasons whereas, okay, you'll be struggling with things and it seems like things are about to overtake you to strengthen your faith in him and that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So like you understand is that faith is the answer to fear. And whenever God is trying to stretch your faith, your flesh will always begin to fear because your flesh is being took into an area that your flesh really can't handle. But only your spirit man can handle. So with that being said, at the pivotal time, you gotta understand, my brothers and sisters who are on the radio line, those who have dreams, those who have visions, don't fear, because if God gave you the vision, he's more than able to complete the vision, but he can't complete it if you don't bring the effort. He can only go as far as you go. When you stop, he stops. So you can't let fear keep you from making the first step, like Apostle was saying. Because the first step is the most important step. And with the first step, God will walk with you, and you start seeing the ways of God being made for you because of your obedience and because of your faith.
Let me ask this question. Let's say it's a listener out there right now who may go to church. You know, they're hearing the word. You know what I mean? They're being encouraged. But every time they leave, they have to go back home and face that same demon or that same stronghold every time they go home. And no matter what they're doing, it doesn't seem to go nowhere. And they actually, every time they leave from out of the house of the Lord, they actually have to go home and deal with the pain of that struggle.
What you understand is this, and what you're saying is really what I call the great divide when it comes down to what I experience in church and what I live outside of church. And I think that's really the struggle that really happens, and I'm not one to bash preaching, I'm not one to bash ministries and that nature, But I think one of the greatest things that we have, one of the greatest services that we, the services that we've done to the body of Christ is that we made the gospel more emotional than it is written.
And
I think the reality is the reason why it's hard for us to, for our mind to grip the reality of life and be able to transfer what we experience in church to being a lifestyle at home, experience what we recite in church as a cliche to be a language we use at home is because we don't take time to teach people that it's
That's
really
right.
about your mind and not
That's
about
right.
what you feel.
That's right. That's
wow.
right.
And as a result, we have people who are being so emotionally tossed to and fro with their emotions, with not even having
power.
The capacity
they ain't
of
got
being
no power.
Able to have make up in your mind. Guess what? I made it. This is not a feeling. This is a conviction that I have within myself that I shall not live. I shall not die, but I shall live. I am the head and not the tail. And with that reality, they're not taking the word and making it mental. It's applying it to their emotions.
That's
and
right.
And emotions change. They're unstable. And when you're being led by your emotions, of course your faith is going to be unstable. Of course you're going to be easily moved by a bill or by a phone call or by a thought that they will put in your mind. Of course, because you're not fighting the battle where it's really fought. It's really fought in the mind. He's not asking your emotions. He's really asking your mind. And
That's
if you
right.
get your emotions to control your mind, you won't be able to speak the Lord, word of the Lord with strong conviction because your emotions are so unstable. They're easily moved by your circumstance and your situation, whereas conviction is a made-up mind. I made my mind up that this is what I believe. This is what. It's not about what I feel. I mean, beyond what I feel, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. I may feel like I'm dying, but my faith kicks in and says, you know what? I will yet trust you. I will yet serve the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. And those confessions has become not just an emotional cliche that we use in church. It has become a living, breathing thought life. And I think that's the problem. We as believers, we're not really putting a platform for God-oriented thoughts. We are plaguing our minds with reality TV. We're plaguing our minds with so many different things as we leave out of church, that's overriding the 2 hours that we had in church. And then we wonder why we are going crazy. We're having fear, or we have an anxiety about relationships. We have anxiety about dreams and visions. It's because we're not feeding our spirits with the right nutrients to be able to overcome the fear that our flesh is so prone to feel. And that's really, really the problem. It's really the struggle right now in my life and in a lot of other Christians' life, I believe.
So how do you feel about Apostle? Let me ask you this. I know as being an apostle and Pastor Boone, you being a pastor, I know a lot of times you can't vent the way you want to vent because you always have to maintain a certain perception because you really don't want to discourage the believers that are
that's
looking
right. mm-hmm.
at you for an answer, or they're looking at you as a symbol of victory. So if you show them a symbol of defeat, you know what I'm saying? How do you as men of God deal with the fears that come at y'all when you can't really share it with no one? Where you have to hold it and walk down that road by yourself a lot of times.
Well, it's really about being accountable and having somebody in your life that you can be accountable to. As a leader, I feel a good leader always has a leader that he could go to. All right. I have several men of God that I could go to when a situation comes up. Like, well, first of all, as leaders, we should be coming together more often than what we do, because, you know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron.
Right.
And that's one of the problems in the church, too. You know, everybody's so high to where they're not reachable. And I don't care what your title is, you should be able to go to somebody and vent and share with that person what's going on without being judged, without being ridiculed, or without feeling like you're lesser than or you're weaker than. Because you're dealing with an issue, and you need to be able to sit down and vent and talk with somebody.
Right.
If that would have been going on 20 or 30 years ago, the church would be in a far greater state than what it is now. But see, the problem that the church is having, everybody's looking at who this individual is going to be. That's going to be the individual that everybody comes to, where it should be a collection, a consortium of leaders that's coming together so that younger pastors, younger preachers, even older pastors and older preachers can come to and get some sound wisdom and have a sound ear that they can lean on that's going to give direction. See, and this is what we need to be praying for. We need to be praying for God to raise up spiritual fathers that can be that crutch that can be leaned on. And then after you lean on them, you ain't got to worry about what you said being heard on the street.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's just my opinion about the situation. I don't care what your title is, apostle, bishop, pastor, whatever, prophet. You should have somebody in your life that you are accountable to, so that even if you go a little bit too far, they can pull your coattail and say, you know, son, I think you need to come on in because what you're saying is not sound. Every preacher should have somebody in their life like that that they can rely on, that can give them instruction, you know, and that's what's missing in the church.
And I'm behind the apostle. I'm a piggyback there. That's why I really, really, I'm not saying it because she's next to me right now, but I really, really thank God for my wife. In the sense
mm-hmm.
that, okay, like, I always tell her this. I said, my home is the only place where I can lay my hair down, and so to speak, and really, really be able to say how I really feel
mm-hmm.
about things.
That's
because
a blessing.
Because I think personally, the problem with a lot of preachers is the fact that we have this Superman complex.
Mm.
We always feel like we have to be Superman all the time. We always feel like we have to have the cape, and we always feel like we have the S on our chest all the time. But to be quite honest, I don't feel like Superman all the time.
Nope.
My faith ain't always where it should be.
That's right.
I'm not always believing God for all things. There are some things that I'm finding a hard time, even in my ministerial role. I'm finding it a hard time to believe God for. There are things in my life as of right now, there are things in my life as of right now that are challenging this very promise that God made me years
mm-hmm.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be honest. I'm finding a hard time at times still believing God. The only thing I have to hold on to is the fact that God said.
That's it, man.
And because I know that God said, despite what I may feel about the situation, which is very real. Because what we don't want to do is we don't want to make you feel as if what you feel ain't real. Because what you feel is real.
It's real.
You do feel the concern. You do feel the worry. It's real.
Yep. It's real, man.
It's a concrete feeling that you're feeling. So let's not make this fairy tale land and make you feel like, okay, it's a figment of your imagination. No. Your feelings are real.
But what has
to happen is the word has become more realer than what you feel. The word has to become the final reality and the final truth of whatever you're going through. And if that
mm-hmm.
does not happen, you'll find yourself going from one reality to another reality and really not coming to truth. And what you end up doing is you end up dying, living a lie,
and never living the true life that God really ordained for you. And
yeah.
you end up blaming God for something that really wasn't God's fault.
That's
you're
right.
Blaming the devil for
mm-hmm.
things that really wasn't the devil's fault. The
That's
only thing
right.
you really have to blame is yourself, because you allow yourself to be fooled by the mask and by the illusion that your emotions painted for you. We gotta
yep.
understand it. Your feelings can paint pictures. Fear can paint a picture. The Bible says,
mm-hmm.
I believe in First Kings. Chapter 19, I believe. I'm going off the wing a little bit, but the Bible says as soon as, and I'm gonna give you the platform of the story just a little bit, is Elijah just went to Mount Carmel, and he just defeated the prophets of Baal, and God answered by fire, and rain was restored to the land of Israel. Now the Bible says that Jezebel sent word. Now she sent word. Now, word. She sent word to Elijah and said, "Tell him that the same way, the same end that the prophets of Baal had met, he will meet this time tomorrow." Now, the Bible says, off of what she said, the Bible says, he saw it. That means the word that she spoke over his life allowed this man of God, just a minute ago, defeated almost 42, over 200 prophets of Baal just a minute ago. Now, the word of a woman caused him to fear to the point that he saw, that he didn't hear her words, he saw her words. Her words painted a picture in his mind of a false reality that God was never going to allow to happen in the first place. And because of fear, he runs and becomes depressed. And tell God, kill me now. So it's, you got to be careful, even in leadership, that your mindset is always keen to not allow the enemy's words to paint pictures in your head that goes a contrary to the destiny that God really has over your life. And that is the most powerful concept. We have to understand that words paint pictures.
And you know, that's something you said, that, right? That words paint pictures. And it's crazy. Normally, if you think about every struggle or every promise that you believe in your heart that God promised you, right? And
right.
once you start, when time start moving on and it seems like it's taking forever for those promises to come to pass, those are the opportunities that fear will invade your life to try to make you feel like what God told you is not true, because it hasn't happened yet. And the longer it doesn't happen, the more pressure and pressure and pressure and pressure that starts building up. So like right now, if God promised you something, or he told you to start a ministry, and or he told you to go out and do something, and like you go out and you start it, and it seemed like the resources that you were expecting are not there at that time, immediately fear will start setting in to yourself. You'll start questioning yourself, well, wow, did God really say this? You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, especially if you told the people something and it hasn't come to pass, you don't want fear to start setting in like you're going to look like you a liar. Different things like that is how fear starts defeating you. And fear starts coming at you to try to make you go against
yeah.
what you know
mm-hmm.
God spoke to you and promised you. And it's
mm-hmm.
time is something that weighs on you. Because, you know, right now we live in a society where, you know, we could put a burger in a microwave, boom, it's done. But a lot of times we don't have the patience for that slow cooked, nicely prepared meal. Because we hung, you know what I'm saying, we'd be starving, we want to eat right then. But a lot of times, man, if stuff don't happen, even in marriage, if God doesn't work out something or an issue right away, normally fear starts coming in. And then once fear comes in, you open up the door for so many other things. It's like you create different realities that really shouldn't be existing in your life based on one door that you open and let fear come in.
And you got to be careful because you know what? Fear always precedes disobedience.
Yeah.
Fear always precedes disobedience. Fear would get you to move out of the time of God because you thought because you think your time is almost up. For example, it was the fear. I believe it was fear that caused Sarah, that moved Sarah to offer Hagar, her handmaid, to Abraham. Because she thought, I'm too old. Like I said, time. So maybe we're going to help God out. It was the fear that God was holding something good back from Eve that caused Eve to even open her mind even more so to the fact of eating the fruit. It was fear. And we got to be so careful. We got to be so careful when we deal with fear that we don't give fear its full course. Because fear will cause you to move out of the will of God, move out of the time of God, because fear will cause you to act drastically and not strategically. And that is the problem. When you act drastically, most times the results of that drastic action is catastrophic. But when you act strategically, even if you lose something, it's what you call a calculated loss because you calculated it as being a possibility that it could be lost. So when you made the move, you really make a loss. It was part of the plan in the first place because it's done strategically.
But you know what makes it hard? It's hard to act strategically when you fill in the knives of confusion and being stabbed all up in your face. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You're feeling a physical pain. Like, have anybody in here, have your heart ever been broken? Have you ever felt a broken heart?
Yes.
Man, yes, Lord.
Yes,
that
Lord.
That is not just something spiritual that's not felt.
Nah.
You actually can feel that physically. Like, you can actually feel that pain. Like, you actually can feel the pain of it. And a lot
right.
of times, man, it's hard to move skillfully and to stick to the plan when you feel like what's attacking you is about to kill you. So the panic sets in, which will make you move drastically from the panic of what you're feeling. And it's hard to think straight if you're being stabbed by from all different angles.
But that's here, to be honest, brother, Mr. Miller, that is the power of worship.
Oh, yeah.
Because what worship does is worship allows me to release to God what I really feel. And I think that's the problem with a lot of people. We have a praise relationship. We don't have a worship relationship.
Uh-huh.
Because praise only goes off of God's performance.
Yeah.
Worship goes off of God's personality, who he is, that even if he don't perform, he is who he is.
Now, you know what? I like that.
He is. And because of that, and because of that, I'm able to trust him. Because the opposite of fear is trust.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm with somebody that I trust, there's no reason really to fear.
And
yes. I think the problem with a lot of us is we are not really having a real relationship with God to the point where we really, 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 really trust him. We really, really trust him. And the fact that the reason why we have fear, because we really don't trust God. Let's be honest. The reason why you're fearing is because you really don't trust God, and we don't trust God's word.
It's the truth.
You can say that again right there. Because
that's
what it boils down to.
That's what it boils
really,
down to.
You really don't trust God the way you say you do. You
mm-hmm.
really don't trust the word that you're preaching that God gave you the way you say it do. But sometimes we expect others to actually receive the word. But sometimes it's hard to even receive the word that you're supposed to be delivering.
That's right.
When you're in the trial, when you're in that trial that word is supposed to deliver you out of. You know what I'm saying? Like right now. If you're about to get kicked out your house tomorrow,
right? You don't have no, and you got a wife and you got kids, and you're the man, and you're looked at as the one responsible to make something happen. And it looks like no, you don't see no way of doing it. And then unless you have thoughts of, listen, let me go out here and I got to do what I got to do because I got to provide for my family. All different type of thoughts will come in your mind. You know what I'm saying? Because you're actually feeling the struggle of life. When we go in church on for like 2 hours, we go in there and we feel a feeling. We worship, we praise, and we go in there and we gravitate off of the strength and the joy of others because we assemble ourselves together what God had called us to do, and we bring our gifts together, and we worship, and we go in, and we praise God, and we testify. But we're doing a lot of that momentarily for that moment. But when we leave, man, when we leave and we go home and we face those issues that are still there, that just don't disappear, like they're still there waiting for you to come home.
Wow.
Yo.
Wow. Can I please say this before I lose it? Can I say this before I lose it? Because I just heard this. That's why you got to constantly do what the Bible said and renew your mind.
Yes.
Because when your mind is renewed, so is your faith.
Right.
And you cannot challenge, you can't face a new challenge with old faith.
No.
Wow.
You cannot face a new challenge on old faith, on yesterday's faith. And that's what a lot of people get complacent. They get comfortable because you've seen God through your faith get you through certain obstacles. And because you don't witness God do this and you don't witness God do that, you get complacent where you are in your faith level. So when a new challenge comes and you face that challenge with that faith that got you through that old obstacle, your faith is not able to handle this new challenge because it hasn't been renewed.
Right.
So
you
got to constantly renew your faith. You just like you got to constantly renew your mind. Because
right.
Guess what? When you go to the devil, when the devil comes to you with something and you meet the challenge, he's not coming to you with the same thing. He's coming to you with something new.
Right.
That's why you have to renew your mind. And when you renew your mind, your faith is renewed with it.
And what we have to understand is, too, Apostle, just to figure out for that, is the fact that God gives faith tests.
Yes.
See, everything that comes in your life isn't from the devil. And if
that's
even
right.
It is from the devil, it's been permitted
it's
by God
that's
to come
right.
into your life to stretch you. Because a lot of times God allows it to come up because you're not obedient.
Mm-hmm.
See, God will tell you to do something. God will tell you, okay, go do this dream, go to this vision, and we have become fearful because the extent of the vision is bigger than who we are,
mm-hmm.
So we won't be obedient.
Yep.
So God's okay, or since you want to go on your own, all right, I'm gonna force you out because I want you to fly. I don't want you sitting in the nest.
Mm-hmm.
You're an eagle. You're supposed to fly. So
that's
I'm going
right.
to keep you out the nest and see if you want to start spreading your wings.
Yeah, that's
and
a word
that,
right there.
And that is what God does us. I don't know about you, but I need my faith stretched. Because
yeah.
I realize, even in my own situation that happened recently in my own life, that my faith in God is not where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, my obedience to God is not where it is to be.
That's right. That's
because
that's
the ultimate right. expression of your faith is really your obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to believe God and obey God even when what he's telling you is contrary to what you feel and contrary to what you see? So with that reality being the truth, we have to find a way where we have to expand, allow God to really stretch us, expand us, and move us from the realm of fear into the realm of faith. And from the realm of just living according to our feelings to living according to what we say we believe.
And that is the reality of things. I'm taking to be honest, I'm already encouraged just talking about it. I know my faith about to be stretched. Because I'm not putting myself out there for him to stretch me. So with that being said, like, yo,
I want to say this, and I don't know why. Jay, you know, I'm just going to say it anyway. And this might be kind of, well, you can take it however you want. Never let nobody, and this is for you, Pastor Boone, never let nobody change who God made you. Never let nobody change who God made you. And if God called you to teach, stay in the realm that God has you. Because when we try to do things outside of what God has called us to do, that's another avenue that the devil uses to jack us up.
Right.
As
you know,
long
also,
as we...
Go ahead, Apostle. I just wanted to let you know we have a caller coming in from a 704.
Okay. I'm going to stop because I just was led to say that to Pastor Boone. Because, I'm just going to say it. There's a great, serious anointing on you for teaching. I mean, it's a strong anointing on you for teaching. And don't feel like you got to be like nobody else. And I know that might sound kind of elementary, but don't take it that way. Because where God getting ready to take you, what you have to say is going to be heard and it's going to be received because of where he's getting ready to take you.
Wow.
Where he getting ready to take you, man, it's bigger than what you even can think. It's bigger than where you even are. It's bigger than where you are. It's bigger than your surroundings. It's bigger than what you can even fathom or think. Because if you make up in your mind that you're going to flow the way God tell you to flow, you're going to see God move like never before. I'm talking about even the next time you get up and minister, don't try to do nothing like nobody else. Do it the way God is orchestrating it for you. And when you do that, man, you saw seeds was planted the last time you preached. Watch and see what God do. Because sometimes the enemy tries to make you feel like you got to be like this one. You got to sound like this one. No, you don't. That's what you don't want to do. It's enough TDJ's clones and this clone and that clone. Be Pastor Boone. Because it's Pastor Boone that God is going to make heard, not nobody else. God got a people that needs to hear Pastor Boone, not nobody else. I'm going to stop because this is not even what we're supposed to be doing, but I just felt led to say that to you.
I receive that, man. I receive that because, to be quite honest, a lot of times, especially in this day and time in our culture, you know what I'm talking about, in this charismatic community,
mm-hmm.
people find a hard time trying to find... You have your identity, but then when you're exposed to another level, you'll feel like, okay, you're out of place because you know you're not like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know there's something different about how you do things
mm-hmm.
and who you are. And like it's like you're trying to find out how, and it's depressing, especially when you're successful at the level you used to be at.
Yep.
Which is very, very difficult. I would rather have struggled at the level I used to be at instead of be successful there and then come up here and have to find out, okay, why is it not working when it worked there?
Mm-hmm.
When reality is, it's a part of the process of building you and strengthening you to the point where, okay, you learn how to take where you were to the next level. How you operated back then, yeah, you could get away with fasting 2 days. But on this level, you got to fast 5 days.
Yep.
Because you're on a different level now. You have that old dimension no more. So you can't get, God's not gonna allow you to get away just off of talent. Now you have to put some work behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's something. You know something? We have a caller from a 704 number. How you doing, caller? Hello? Caller?
They still there?
Yeah, I see them on there. It's a 704 area code.
Did you unmute them?
Yeah, I guess they don't want to say nothing. I was giving them an opportunity to speak.
Okay.
I'll get back, see me.
Yeah. Our brother Aaron is on the line now, too.
Good evening.
Good evening, brother Aaron.
What's going on, man?
What's going on, DA? What's good, Mr. Apostle? How's everything with everybody?
I'm happy,
everything
man.
Good, man. Everything good, man.
Everything good.
That's good. So, what did I miss up on? Miss out on, actually.
Well, it's been some good stuff, man.
Really?
Talking about the fears of the mind, man. You know what I'm saying? You know how we look at the mind, or you know how we look at our mind being in Christ, in
mm-hmm.
the Word being in our minds, and even in the midst of even in our faith, we still deal with different fears and different struggles that are real in our life. But yet, in the midst of that fear, it is our obligation to look past the fears and press towards our assignments and our purposes that we believe God has given us,
mm-hmm.
and not to allow those fears to become our slave master. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times a fear will put your mind on a spiritual plantation and have you doing work that is not even your assignment and your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Just so it can take up the time that you should be given towards what you were assigned for. If you understand what I'm saying when I say that.
I need to give him an offer.
Something like that, man.
Give him an offer. Come on, plantation, spiritual plantation.
Yeah. You are a poet after my own heart.
Wow, man.
How you, AJ? They being really lynched in the spirit.
Yeah. But you know what's crazy? It's they Willie Lynching themselves.
They themselves.
Wow.
You know what I mean? You write your own letter and you give your own remedy to keep your own self bound.
You give it
fear. You know what I mean? Like Bishop said,
what
he said, behavior tolerated is behavior taught. So the more you keep tolerating those fears and allowing them to make you move and respond the way it does, the longer you keep teaching it to keep doing it, because you keep responding every time that it approaches you.
You know what I'm saying? And you become paranoid.
Fear makes you paranoid.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Fear will make you fear will have you paranoid.
Can I ask y'all a question? I'm sorry. What kind of fear are you guys actually speaking about? Like, can you name some of the fears that you guys are talking about?
Hey, yo,
you guys are preaching.
It could be the fear of dying.
The fear of success.
The fear
of failure. The fear of sickness. The fear of poverty.
Fear comes in many forms.
So what's actually fear? And I don't want to necessarily hear the acronym for it. You know how we say false evidence appearing real and all that stuff. What actually is fear?
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna get the dictionary.
If you want to hear, you want to hear the.
We're gonna have a Apostle DC Thomas moment.
Leave him alone now.
Papa pulled that dictionary out quick.
Ain't nothing wrong with the dictionary. That's why Webster's thinking about things, man.
Where's the dictionary? That was I heard.
Hey, yo, fear is an emotion induced by a perceived threat.
Okay,
that right there,
it.
That right there was the deepest definition of fear. That beats false appearance, false evidence appearing real. Because you hear the word perceived threat. That means your perception, how you see it. If you see it as a threat, it can produce an emotional chemical in your brain that releases an emotion.
Yeah.
Your
feelings
that causes you to feel a ton of way. Wow.
All right. Preacher.
I'm sorry. That's who I am.
All right. Now, you're saying that fear basically is something that's emotional?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what fear is? It produces many emotions.
Yeah, but
it's
basically something that actually affects your emotion.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And how do you actually conquer fear?
Say that again?
How do you conquer it? Like, how do you no longer become fear over the things that you just named?
The only way to conquer fear is by trusting. You got to replace fear with trust.
I believe facing it also.
You gotta have.
I believe confronting it. I believe you'll never get over any fear until you confront it.
Okay. All right. I can definitely get with those.
Just like one time, let me give you an example. I went to Great Adventures and I got on, what's the roller coaster? The one that goes up real high at Great Adventures.
King of Kai?
No, not King of Kai.
Hercules?
No, at Great Adventures, it's like yellow and blue.
Oh, you're talking about Nitro.
Nitro. The first time I got on Nitro, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was up there, and I was like, you know, this ain't nothing. So I get on the ride, and as we going up, and I actually started seeing how high we was actually up, and I looked and seen the drop. I started hyperventilating, right, panicking, but it was nothing I could do. We was about to drop. So I'm like, oh, no, my heart pounding. So we get through the ride. People crying, everybody's eyes all teared up and everything. So I looked at it, right? I looked at the ride and was like, you know what? I'm not going to let this ride conquer me. I'm getting right back on. So to me, in my mind, in order not to have a phobia of that roller coaster, I had to get back on it. And when I got back on it, I rode it as if I was conquering it.
Now I have another question for you guys. Is to be afraid of something, is that wrong?
No.
There's two kinds of fear. There's two kinds of ways you can fear something. You can fear something from a reverential way, like, okay, like for example, I got enough common sense. Well, I'm not going to jump off a roof because it's just common sense. Like, it ain't I got a fear of heights, but I have enough reverence for the aspect of gravity that I'm not going to jump off a roof try to prove I ain't afraid of falling. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. I have to stop you right there. You said reverence. Now, are we talking about fear or are we talking about reverence? And if we're talking about reverence, then what's reverence?
Some things are good fears. Like,
okay,
Mr. Michigan. I forgot he went to college. He's a college kid. I think he's smarter than me. I'm joking. Coming all deep, all technical with me. No, what you guys saying? There are some good fears. There are some things of fear that in some elements and some within some context keeps you from going, keeps you from danger, keeps you from death,
self preservation,
peril,
self preservation.
Yeah. Self-preservation, self-preservation fear, whatever how you say that word. So there are some good fears out there that make sense. But then there are some fears that are crippling you from your growth and your development as a person, and for those who are believers, as believers.
So you gotta be able. There is a difference between the two.
All right. So now my question to you is: does the Bible talk about the good fears? Because I know there's a scripture that says God has not given us a spirit of fear. So does it actually, you know?
Well, yeah, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Okay. What does that mean?
That means the reverence. Like I said, we were the two kinds of fear.
We are back to the word reverence. Now, what does reverence mean? Because I don't know if anybody gave me a definition of it.
Hold on.
And why are you looking that up? Let me say this. Equipped faith will always conquer inadequate fear.
Equipped faith will conquer inadequate fear?
Right.
What does that mean?
That means when your faith is renewed, it will always conquer an inadequate fear. Because
when you say your
fear,
faith is renewed,
when you renew your mind, when your mind is renewed, your faith is renewed as well.
Okay.
Well, listen,
are you only
talking
from a believer's perspective?
Yeah, from a a believer's perspective and a non-believer. Because if you constantly believing, and this is right now, I'm not even talking. And for those that don't necessarily believe in God,
mm-hmm.
if you change negative thinking and start thinking positive, that's still renewing your mind.
Okay.
Changing how you think about a situation. If you stop thinking, focusing in on the negative and start searching out the positive in a situation, that's renewing your mind. That's renewing your way of thinking.
Okay.
Now, you was asking about reverence, right? The word reverence. Well, the word reverence from an emotional point of view, like reverence, and when you're dealing with emotion, it's a subjective response to something excellent in a personal way, right? Then it says reverence dealing with attitude. It's the acknowledgement of the legitimacy of the power of one's superior or superiors.
So it's recognizing basically how powerful something is. So I can reverence electricity.
That's right.
That's
no,
right.
You know, you better.
You know
what it can do to you.
You better sit on a live
if
wire.
You handle it the wrong way.
You better sit on a live wire.
You better reverence the fire.
Yep.
Yeah. Stick your hand in.
Yeah.
If you don't reverence it, after you stick your hand in, if you will in, after that.
Yeah, if you're able to reverence anything after that.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, you go reverence electricity. Yes, you are.
And that's what I'm talking about, like a good fear, a fear that kind of.
And guess what?
The hardest
criminal, when he about to get that electric chair and they about to flip that switch, he reverenced that electric.
Yeah, he is. He's talking about Jesus then. talking to somebody. Friends, they get real spiritual.
And guess what? He ain't got to say a word. When you see that liquid dripping down the flag, he wearing electric.
Yeah, he's going down.
Yeah.
He's
not
going
only
down,
that,
man.
The power of the gun will make you come into submission.
That's right.
And it will make you lift your hands up. It'll make you lift your hands up.
Yes.
It'll make you lift your hands up. It'll make you lift your hands down. It'll make you lift your hands sideways. Whatever the person tells you to do, you're quite sure you do.
Man.
I don't necessarily.
You be the hokey pokey.
And you reverence that badge that police officer got too.
Yeah, because when he pull you over, you'll be like, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Excuse me, officer. Can I help you? Like, you changed that tone up real good.
Yeah.
He was a grown man a minute ago.
Some people, not all people.
People with good sense.
Yeah, I guess so.
But most likely, normally people with not good sense, normally they get that leg shortened when they come at the cops like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to shorten that leg, make you go down like 4 or 5 inches on one side. Mm.
Okay. All right.
But,
So, Mr. Advocate, DA.
Yes, DA.
Like, yo, just your attorney.
I know, right?
Attorney. Mr. DA.
DA. Mr. DA.
Right? Yo, on the movie The Devil's Advocate, what was he?
But actually, he was an attorney. He wasn't a district attorney. He was
no,
an attorney.
He was, yeah, he still he was a lawyer though.
Yeah.
No, but listen. What fears when you heard the show about surviving mental fears? We want to hear some mental fears that the advocate would say.
Certain things that I'm afraid of.
Well, that you're afraid of, or that you feel as though that people are trying to survive.
People are trying to wait. You lost me on that one.
Surviving the fear, living with fears that, or living with different phobias, and living with those fears is hard. How people function in the midst of those fears, dealing with everyday life. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, everyone has different fears.
I
so
think,
what are the advocates' fears then, since you said it like that?
Oh, personally?
Yeah, personally.
I don't know what I fear. I fear scary movies. I don't like watching scary movies.
What is it that you fear about them?
Huh?
What is it that you fear about them?
Like, the one movie I watched, what's the movie when they were actually astral planes?
Insidious?
Yes, Insidious, there you go, that movie. Well, after I finished watching that movie, right, I had to go downstairs and get something to drink or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not want to go downstairs. But, I've seen enough scary movies, and a lot of them I was scared of. But for some reason, this movie just got to me some kind of way. I just didn't want to go downstairs, yo. And then when I finally actually went downstairs, I ran downstairs, got what I needed to get, and ran back
upstairs. Let me ask you a question. How old were you when this happened?
Like 2 years ago?
Insidious came out. Yeah, Insidious came out a couple of years ago.
Oh, man. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. I'm so serious.
Oh, man.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's go deeper into that fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a journey deeper into that fear.
Oh, my God.
What,
this guy
were you,
is like
what would you
pole,
say
pole
that you were actually scared of? Was it
I don't think
the
I was.
Movie,
I don't think I was.
Or was it something that you was thinking the possibility, like a false
well, no. See,
possibility
I knew,
of something could
I
happen.
I knew it was. No, I knew it was just a movie. I knew that nothing was gonna happen, but it's just the atmosphere that scary movies put me in.
That's the,
and,
well, listen. That's the key word. You said atmosphere. So,
mm-hmm.
Fear really created a little world for you. In that moment.
Wow.
That you lived in.
Okay, if you want to put it that way.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it was, even though you can say, it's just like this. Let's just say if you know somebody is hiding behind the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they're going to jump out.
Mm-hmm.
But when they jump out, you still jump. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, I've quite often. I mean, not quite often, but it's happened a lot of times in my life, yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, it's really the fear, just because you watched the movie and you never actually seen what happened on Insidious happen in your real life.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watched it, you begin to create the possibility of what if. And that's
well, no, I know that it's not true. It's just like you say. I don't think of the possibility of what if. The only thing I think about is the movie, and just like you said earlier, the little world I created for myself inside my mind. That's it. But I know it's not real. I know nothing's going to happen. So I don't necessarily never think of possibilities. I don't ever think that
so
someone's going to jump out.
So why be scared? It's a possibility.
And,
you
no,
did
it's
think
not
of
a possibility.
Well, why would
it's
you scared?
It's not a possibility. I told because of what you
no,
just said earlier.
No, in the world
you said
that
it's
was
a little
created.
World.
No, but in that world.
Yeah, but I don't believe that,
world that
it's real.
Created the possibility though.
Of,
in that world, not outside of it, but in that world, in that moment.
It's not a possibility to me though.
Well, why you run?
I didn't run. Well, you talking about run downstairs? Because I told you, in that little world that I was in, it got me scared. But I didn't think that it was going to happen for real.
Okay, all right, I see what you're saying. From like, okay, you know beyond what you felt in that particular moment or little concern that you felt. And better you're a grown man, you run downstairs to watch the movie, praying for you, brother.
You're trying to play me out right now. I see that. It's all good.
I'm just saying, brother. Let me keep it all real.
I know. It's real cute how you said grown man running downstairs like that. That was cute.
That's what he said, because the atmosphere. Now, I'm totally talking about what you're talking about right now, because we know that it was just a movie and the possibility of that happening. Although, if you deal with going to some other regions of the world and that's really entrenched in voodoo and witchcraft, them jokers do that for real.
I don't believe that either. But I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Whether someone experiences it in some other type of world or whatever, I don't think that it's real. I don't necessarily believe that it's real. It's just the fright factor of it. It's just
right.
Like when I go into a haunted house or something like that, I know that these people aren't going to kill me. I know that it's just for entertainment. But the fright factor of it, what
right.
it does to you mentally, you know what I'm saying? It actually stirs up a certain part of your brain. And,
fear.
Exactly. I know it's not real. Your brain functions that it's not real, but it's just the factor of the fright. It's just the factor
right.
of the fear. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't necessarily. I know that I'm not going to run into Freddy Krueger. I know. I'm not going to run into, you know, some aliens trying to probe me. But it's just the factor of it, watching a movie. That's all.
The powerful thing, like you said right there, is that is how the devil really operates. Being a little spiritual just a little bit. That's how the enemy operates in the minds of people. He gives you an image that's not really real. Make it appear real and knows just what to say to you to excite that emotion of fear, to cause you to second-guess God.
It's crazy. It's almost like the devil gives you the script and make you play the role.
Like it's your donut.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You write the script out,
poetic
put
justice.
It out in front of you, and you become the actor in his little movie. You know what I'm saying? Running around, responding, going against what you know is true. You know what I'm saying? No one was right, but because he gave you a script and your eyes got set on what he wrote, now that becomes your reality.
And you know what's funny thing about it is? I'm just thinking about it, and it's really deep. I'm really thinking about it right now. How much of our disobedience is really based out of some level of fear? You don't sacrifice because you fear that it won't be enough left after you do what you're supposed to be doing. You don't pay your tithe really because you have a fear that once I pay my tithe, I won't have enough money to handle my bills. Fear is a very, very powerful tool that the enemy used very subtly, you know what I'm saying, that can be missed just through the whole rustle and bustle of life, man. It can be missed because we focus on the big picture. Oh, we didn't do this. No, but hold on. Why didn't you do it? What thought that the devil put in your mind for that split second to cause you not to believe God and cause you in your disbelief to disobey God? So you got to really think about it. Like, yo, man, fear is crazy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think fear is crazy. I think phobia is crazy. I don't necessarily think fear itself is crazy.
I'm not saying proverbial literally, but like it's crazy in the sense of saying,
well,
like,
fear is another level. Phobia is when it's taken to another level. The fear goes like
yeah.
beyond. It's like
beyond
now,
control.
Phobia is
it's like
always
now,
phobia
it's no
is
longer
always
a fear. It's now that's who you become. Like that's
who you are.
It is who you are now. Like I was watching this show, and it's people. I don't know if y'all ever seen this on TV about different people's phobias, and they are scared of like some of the most weirdest things. Like this one man was. He has a phobia of the
clown
fish eyes that are in a fish tank.
Yep.
And when
phobia
he
is always
fish,
for something real.
Yeah. And they put him in a room full of fish tanks with fish eyes, like, all, like, swimming around, yo. And he was going crazy. You know what I'm saying? And us, we'd look at that and laugh. But that fear created that reality for him in his world. And that's
mm-hmm.
the thing. That's why fear can take you down a very crazy road. If you stay on that road.
Yep.
I don't believe fear is a road that you should stay on because it doesn't have a great end result at the end of it. Because it can take you, it becomes dangerous if you stay on that road too long.
And
you know what I'm saying?
And fear can paralyze you, man. It can paralyze you from even living life. I mean, people staying at homes, locked up in their homes because they're afraid of that germophobia.
Yeah,
crazy stuff like that. I mean, they isolate themselves, and that's what fear does, man. That's why you got to be so careful. That's what you got to be so careful.
You know what? Fear puts you in a place of being powerless.
Right.
All right. And whenever you give in your because of fear, fear will cause you to give your power to somebody that don't supposed to have it. Just like a woman that's in a relationship with a man that's abusing her, because of the abuse, all right. It makes her fear the abuser, and it gives the abuser power that he don't supposed to have, because whenever he goes to raise his hand, it makes you flinch because of what he has done. But whenever you confront the abuser, you take your power back. Whenever you confront that person or that thing that has your power, you take your power back automatically, because now they don't know how to deal with you confronting them. It's just like a bully. Whenever you confront that bully and tell that bully they're not gonna have you scared of them, they automatically start looking around, because now everybody's saying, ooh, because you confronting that bully. And whenever
wow.
you start, whenever that bully start looking around, that's when you know you got your power back.
But also,
and that's
how,
let me ask a question to everyone on here. Do you think you missed some great moments in your life based on fear?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh man. Oh yeah.
I'm getting mine back though. Thank God for
wanna,
second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chance.
I just want to just shed light on something just a little bit. Like I'm not an expert at this at all, but just from coming from a layman's point of view, I've heard somewhere where fear not only is derived from emotion. It's also a mechanism for protecting ourselves. I don't know if you guys ever heard of fear over flight. Basically what that is for instance, let's say, a man is walking in the high glades of somewhere, and he actually sees he sees the bushes shake, and when he sees the bushes shake, he can either do two things. He either can keep going, because he says, well, you know, it's basically just the wind blowing. It's not anything behind the bush. Or he can run, and he's basically saying, well, it could be a tiger behind that bush. So let me get away. And a lot of times, the way people have survived, and I'm not talking about in today's time, I'm talking about prehistorically, during the time of earlier, you know, people. What happens is, a lot of times when people run away from certain things back then, when they used to hunt and gather and all that stuff, when they used to run away, that was a way of survival, because a lot of times when you didn't trust your fear and you actually went toward the bush, chances are it could have been something that could that can or could have killed that person. So in a lot of ways, fear also helps you. And I think Pastor Boone actually hit on it before. He said, you know, sometimes fear actually allows you to think logically about certain things, and maybe I need to stay away from it. Like I think you said, to jump off of a roof or something like that, or a cliff.
Yeah.
You use that as an example. So in a lot of ways, fear also is, you know, a way to prevent us from doing things that could possibly harm us. Just to throw that out there.
I agree completely, because, like, there's some things, like, I fear that keeps me away from certain things, because I'm afraid of God, what God says, what God says. I'm the type of person that I've learned that if God say, okay, this could mean the death or something, I'm not trying to find it out. I ain't trying to find what God mean by death. So therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stay away from that, because I don't do good with testing that theory out. I say, God, I just take your word for it, so I'm going to stay away from that. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, fear is a good thing, because you have to, like, it also ties into the whole reverencing the power of something that's greater than you, or the possibility of the power of something that's greater than you. Like, if I'm in an atmosphere, and say the 6'8" person is talking all this trash, and I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. Unless my life is really threatened, I'm not going that direction. Because I'm not 6'8", and I'm not 235, and come wherever you want to call me. I'm using wisdom. That's a little out of my weight class, and I'm not going to put myself in that predicament. Now, I got a brother who's 6'8", who I can go talk to. With me, myself, I'm using a bit of wisdom on this one. You can call it fear, I'm calling it wisdom. However you want to call it.
You know how to pick your fights. That's good.
I know how to pick my fights. I know when to pick them.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I think that is wisdom.
Yeah, it sounds like it to me.
Nah, he's a punk. No, he wise, man. That common sense. Yeah. Leave that man alone.
Wow.
Oh, man.
You know what? Example that you gave, Aaron, that was that thing. Remember I was asking you about the false negative? And the false
positive.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
I wish I could find that thing, man. Because that example. And we, and fear is in that. Like you just gave the example. Like, it'd be a good fear if we was on a hunting trip when we was out in Africa and we seen some hyenas laughing.
That ain't funny.
Yeah. It's time for us to make some moves.
But you know what though? It's a difference in fearing something that's tangible or something that you can see, feel, touch, versus fearing what someone or fearing what you hear. You understand what I'm saying? When the devil comes and tells you something that goes against the knowledge of what God done showed you, why fear that? See, it's a difference fearing a bush shaking. You can see that. All right? But why fear? Why should I fear somebody saying, oh, the next time I see you, I'm going to punch you in the face? You get what I'm saying? That's somebody's... I'm not going to fear. Now, and then again, something depending on who's saying it. Now, this going on a whole another level. Like, if...
Because if George Foreman told you...
Exactly. Exactly.
He going to put a two-piece on that chest.
Yeah, but I might want to avoid some safe way that George Foreman going to be at.
Yeah, exactly. So, what's the likelihood that I'm going to run into George Foreman, though? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my thing is, it's a difference when you fearing something that somebody's saying versus something you seen.
Wow.
It's a total difference, because you have reality and then you have non-reality. And it's easier, or it makes more sense to fear what's real than to fear what's not.
Let me ask y'all this question. Would you be scared right now if we was like, let's go to the cemetery and play tag?
No,
or
I've done
at
that
nighttime.
Before.
You've done that before, right?
More than once.
But
I'm not afraid of the grave. Why am I afraid of it?
Can hurt you out there.
Everything
out there is dead.
But
like they say, dead people can't hurt you, but they can make you hurt yourself.
Exactly.
Well, then
through the perception.
Yeah. Well, I guess so. But I'm not like in
the
graveyard. I've done it before.
Whose fault is that?
What y'all about Pastor Boone? He ain't playing tag in no cemetery. Y'all can have that game. That's between y'all. You have fun at y'all playground. That just left out. Hey. I ain't judging you on it. Me personally, I'm sick this one out.
Yeah, I've done that when I was younger. More than once,
right? Yeah, mm-hmm. We've done that too. And on top of that, I even had a friend one time we playing out there, and he fell inside of a dug hole.
Oh, man, that's bad.
Tell me.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah. You fell inside a dug hole. You know what I mean? And man, the trauma. The trauma of that.
I think they ended his tagging days in the cemetery.
Yeah,
you can't even take this soon.
You definitely couldn't just talk over that one.
No. We're gonna encourage that brother to come out. No, it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, that's some different stuff. So what? Like right now. You hear my wife and them, they was telling me, man, like right now people is fighting over gas because it's like people running low on gas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like people fighting and sticking people up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've actually heard stories personally where somebody got their house raided and they couldn't do anything. They couldn't even call the cops. Because they didn't have no power, and so it's crazy. But I'm sorry to break the little monotony of what we're talking about. But I want to hear some more about fear when it comes to the Bible and to spiritual things per se. I know we've been actually you guys have been actually talking about fear with natural things, picking your fights and being wise about stuff like that and, not jumping off the cliffs and being afraid of tigers, lions, and bears. But what does the Bible, I mean, can you guys more explain about what the Bible talks about?
Man, well, there's plenty of scriptures that say that start out by saying, fear not.
Mm-hmm.
Fear not. One of them is, fear not, for the Lord thy God is with thee. I don't have my Bible in front of me, but there's plenty of scriptures in the Bible that it gives you a scenario, and at the end of the scenario, it'll say, fear not, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Just like I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. That's when Joshua was getting ready to take the position as the leader, the spiritual leader of the children of Israel. No doubt Joshua might have had a ton of fears getting ready to walk into shoes that he might felt like he was inadequate to fill. And God had to let him know, I know you're scared, but don't be scared, because just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. The same things you saw Moses do, I'm going to do through you, but even greater things. The Bible even says that. When the Bible's talking about the things that Jesus did, it informs us
even greater things will be able to do because Jesus went to the Father. So there's plenty of scriptures that talk about how we're not supposed to fear. We're not supposed to fear any challenges. We're supposed to meet the challenges head on, especially if you know that what you're getting ready to walk up into, you're already equipped to do it. So if you're equipped to if you're equipped to handle the challenge, why not go ahead and just handle it?
What happens then?
Go ahead.
What would you say? I'm sorry. I just want to ask this, and then you can come with your scripture. Don't forget your scripture, because I know what I'm about to say, you might want to chime in. Don't, because I don't want you to forget your scripture.
I got it right here.
Okay. How about for people who are, evangelists, and to actually go around preaching and ministering, you know, the word of God, and let's say they necessarily didn't have the certain type of fear that that a normal person would have had, and they put themselves in a situation where they couldn't get out of, and they died because of it.
I think more that that situation really comes down to the person's relationship with God, and if that was an act of faith. Sometimes, and this we start getting some stuff that. Start getting to the sovereignty of God about something. Sometimes God allows certain things to happen or okay things to happen to get his glory out of it. Now, how he gets his glory out of somebody going and trusting him even to their death is yet still a mystery even to me. But sometimes God teach me when to die for Christ and die in the midst of your obedience to Christ is the greatest glory.
You really think so?
I really think so because you really, some people say, you know what, I'll give my life for this. I'll give my life for Christ. I'll lay down my life for Christ. And a lot of times we say it because it sounds good, it's cliche, it feels good. But the real question I like to ask you all the time, would you really give your life to Christ? I mean, if you go to these other countries across this world,
I was just about to say that.
You saying that I'm a Christian really means that you are ready to die today. Now, not tomorrow. You're willing to, right now, when I leave out this building, I'm willing to give my life right now. When you're living under that kind of pressure, for you to say that you believe God really takes on a whole different context.
Yeah.
It's not only I believe
totally
God
with you on that.
From an emotional standpoint. No, I believe God with my life.
When
I die right now, I'm going to heaven. So to live is Christ,
and
to
die
is gain.
Yo,
it's
I'm
real,
totally,
man.
Honestly, like, without a shadow of a doubt.
Can I read my scripture?
Hold on. From that point of view.
Before you take it somewhere else. Before you take it.
No. I'm not taking
it
anywhere.
You said, I want to read my scripture now.
Okay. I'm sorry. Just can I finish my thought? And then you can read the scripture.
Da, you challenged his authority, so now he got to put you in check.
Yeah. Right. Just to finish, what I was saying. Just basically, that makes so much sense, because you're right. There are a lot of people that do say, you know, No. It is very, very cliche. It's very, very, you know, people do say that. But yeah, I really do. I would ask, just like you said, if there are people who are so, like, really serious about that, how far are they willing to go? Because there are places where you actually can lose your life based on your faith, and I wonder how far will all of those people who claim that they would die for their belief, how far are they willing to go? Because we live a very, very sheltered, free-based religious life in America, and there are some places that aren't like that at all. So go ahead. I'm sorry. You can read the scripture.
All right, this is Luke, the 12th chapter. It says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together in an innumerable multitude of people, and so as much that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid
that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no power more they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And that's Luke 12 chapter through the 5th verse.
What did you get out of that, my fine sir?
Say that again?
What did you get out of that scripture you just read?
What I got out of that scripture, what I just read there, is we ain't supposed to fear man at all. What man can do to us, what anybody can do to this physical, even take us and kill us. It's what can be done to your soul after life. And I
for those who believe in that.
Well, we're talking about the word.
I believe in the word. For those who accept that.
Well, Minister Jay Miller, let me just announce, Minister Jay Miller believes in the word. That's clear. Live on the radio.
Yes.
I believe in the word.
It's very clear.
Yeah, okay. Just so you know. I just wanted to read that.
Okay.
I just need to plant that seed in the atmosphere so someone can create their world based upon the word that was just spoken.
All right. Do you think that it's wise, let's say, for instance, I'm just giving a scenario. Do you think it's wise if I have a wife, I have children, I have bills, I have things to take care of, I am a responsible, loving husband, I work, I pay my taxes, I do everything I need to do. And do you think it's wise for me to put myself in a situation because of my religion, whatever my religion may be? You think it's wise for me to put myself in a religion where I can possibly become a martyr and leave my wife and kids on this earth alone without the support of myself, and leave my children, bastards, and my wife a widow? Do you think it's fair for them?
You can do that being a cop or a firefighter.
Yeah, I know, but I'm asking based on religion.
Based on religion, over freedom.
Yeah.
I think personally, and the reality is, Jesus said it best. Jesus said, "If you don't love your mother, if you don't love me more than your father, or your brother, or your sister, or your mother, then you can't have none of me." I think that is the call. That is the tough call of Christ. Christ is all or nothing. It ain't no half stepping here. Ain't no give me a little bit of this, give me a little bit of that. No. You don't give me all of you, or half of you just won't do. And I think personally, like I said before, especially in America, you asking this question, and we're in America. It's hard for us as Americans to really wrap our mind around that being a real reality when we live in a freedom, such as one of the most freest place in the world. So it's very hard for us to wrap our minds around that reality of us being martyrs for what we believe. We're past that stage now. In the 60s, 50s, 40s, during the civil rights movement, that was a real reality, especially in the South and some places in the North. It was a reality where I had to be willing to die for what I believe in, for what I believe is right, which might not have been so much along the religious stance as much as it was upon just civil matters. Political matter.
Yeah, right.
So with that being said, when you're dealing with Christianity, you've got to be willing to die for what you believe in. And you got to be willing to die for what you believe in, not so much in the physical, but more or less in your flesh, in your own desires. God gave me a prime revelation one day. He said, okay, you say so much how much you're willing to die for me, but can you die for me in the things that you want to do? Can you die to yourself? And if you can't die to yourself, it's almost impossible you think that you're going to be able to give your life physically for me. You can't give up the thing that you can give up now without any cost to your life. So with that being said, like, I believe
believe it's not a question. It's wisdom for you to choose God. That's what the wisdom is, and you choosing God.
You know what? We have a guest caller on the line, man. I think it's not a number. It's like Asha Baz or something.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, good night.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Bad.
Thank you for calling in, tuning in to Dirty Church Radio.
I'm just enjoying you.
Okay. Is there anything you want to say?
Well, I wanted to just comment on, you know, like giving your life up to the Lord. I believe that when first born again believer, and as you continue to walk, to grow in Christ, that is a decision that one needs to consider and make, you know, at that time. You know what I'm saying? As you grow spiritually, you need, that is something that you need to consider. Can you hear me?
Yeah, your phone is kind of breaking up.
Oh, I'm on Skype.
Hello?
Yes, I'm talking to you. Hi.
I said you're on speaker, okay?
Are you on the speaker phone?
No, I'm on Skype. Can you hear me? I'm on Skype, the computer.
Oh, you're on the computer?
Yeah.
Oh, on Skype. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But did you hear me what I said, though?
Hold on one second.
All right.
Eric, could you hear her clear?
I can hear you.
No, I can't necessarily hear her that clear. I hear her breaking up.
You hear her breaking up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's on the computer on Skype or something.
Yes, I am.
I don't know. I just put it down just now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If it's possible, if we can get her to call back from a landline or a cell phone,
okay.
I think it would be a little bit better for us to understand you, because we definitely would like to hear what you're saying. It sounds very interesting what you're saying. It's kind of hard for us to actually hear you and understand you because you're breaking up.
Okay.
So
you can call the number. Do you have the number, the phone number?
Yeah, I do. I'll call it.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I think one of y'all two was talking. Was it you, Aaron?
No, it was
Pastor Boone.
It was Pastor Boone.
Oh, done. I'm
going
on. Okay. Well, go ahead, Mr. Advocate.
No, I wasn't gonna say anything, but since you put it towards my direction, I guess I will say something. I don't know. It kind of scares me to think that. Yeah, right.
Is that a fear?
Yeah, it is a fear. It kind of scares me to think that people are willing to die for the sake of something that they necessarily can't prove, can't see, in a way that, like I always say, is blind faith. It's to me, it's very, very scary in a sense that someone could possibly believe to that point, whereas they totally disregard life and totally disregard their loved ones around them for the sake of religion.
But you got to say, from a historical perspective, that was a reality. We're not talking about something that was like, okay, just some out of a storybook. The first century Christians suffered so, in the beginning of the first century, the early Christians suffered so much horrific persecution for what they believed. And a lot of them didn't even see Christ. A lot of those people that suffered those persecutions didn't even see, all they received was a word of mouth from people who seen Christ. So that is a reality. If you're not willing, and I strongly believe in Martin Luther King saying, if you're not willing to die for anything, you're not worth living. Because in essence, you have to believe in something beyond what you can see.
I'm not necessarily excluding believing in something, but I believe in something that you actually you fight for, or you believe in to the point of death, of something that you can prove, something that you actually can see. And when you were referring to the civil rights during the time, they actually was fighting for something that they actually can see, something they actually can experience in real life. But in the sense of someone totally denying themselves and loved ones around them for the sake of religion, for the sake of hearsay, for the sake of someone else's word, it's scary to me.
When you say denying oneself, what do you mean? What do you mean denying their family? What do you mean that?
I asked the question before, and the reason, like I said, the reason why I ask these questions is because I have conversations with people that ask these questions all the time, and it's very easy to give a scripted answer, that comes from the Bible, or that comes from the Torah, or that comes from, the Holy Quran. It's very, very easy, but to actually give someone a real answer, a real life answer, is very, very difficult. But when I'm referring to denying oneself and family, in the sense of, I asked you earlier about someone who actually, do I think is selfish, or do I think is fair for them to basically allow their life to be kind of taken and put into danger for the sake of religion, not necessarily for the sake of helping someone else, in the sense of, I don't necessarily want this car to hit you, so I'm going to get in the way of the car. I'm talking about things that aren't actually real. You're dying for a religion.
Well, it's almost like this. If we went on a missionary journey into another land that's where they have in war, and we're over there feeding children, and we believe that we're on an assignment from God to help someone else, to feed the hungry and to clothe them, and we're in another country, and that's part of our faith, it puts you in danger. You know what I mean? But you're doing it based on the love that God showed you, and now you're showing that love out. You're spreading that love and scattering out.
Yeah,
there's many dangers that we live in life, and you can be married and have children.
And I understand that, but I'm saying it in the sense of, if someone believes that they are actually called for this type of life, and they feel as though if they don't abide by the calling, that the punishment is on them, and the punishment is penalty after death, is hell after death. So the fear of hell and the love of their religion allows them to disregard life and to disregard the loved ones around them. And when I'm faced with these type of questions that people, that people may ask me or whatever like that, it's kind of difficult to give them real answers. It's very easy to give them answers based on religion.
But hold on one second. Everyone out there that's tuning in on Dirty Church Radio right now, we thank you for tuning in. This is Minister Jay Miller. Normally we go to a little extra bonus round after the show, but you can only listen to that if you go back to the archives. But we appreciate you just for tuning in live with us tonight. We thank you so very much. Until the next time, God bless you all. Stay safe. Enjoy family. And please, trust in God. Go ahead, Pastor Bone.
I think one of the most powerful stories I ever heard was a story from the Columbine shooting. Well, this young lady who was a devout Christian, and when the two gentlemen who were responsible for that massacre came into the room, and they targeted her because they knew that she was a Christian, they knew that she was a believer, and they told her to stand up. Here it was, this senior in high school, supposed to be getting ready for prom, had a whole life ahead of her, no doubt had family and friends. that no doubt crossed her mind. And when they asked her the question of whether she not believed in Christ, right there was a life and death situation. She could easily said, okay, you know what? I want to see my little brother. I want to see my mom and dad again. What does it hurt for me to say no? If she would have said no, and most people humanly would understood because the threat of death is right there in front of their face. Instead, this young lady said, I still believe, with a shotgun looking her in the face. They killed her that day. And she died because she refused to deny the God she said she believed in. She wasn't on the mission field. She wasn't out there trying to feed children. She wasn't out there trying to do any humanitarian work. She was senior high school going to school. No doubt trying to get ready for prom and think about what she's going to do later on with her life. What her life is stuff at that moment. To tell me that I'm full of deny that I believe so wholeheartedly and deny my human rights of choice. And I refuse to give my rights of choice for the sake of everyone's life because what you believe in is who you are. Believe in it, you believe in it. Who you are. Oh, look up. Devil, I'll get up.
Mr. Advocate?
Yes.
Yeah, Pastor Boone, he was talking, his phone had it hung up or died out real quick. Listen, I believe this show, this topic was, I believe really when it comes dealing with the mind and fears in the mind, I believe we really only touch really the surface of it.
The surface part of it?
Yeah, because it's so many stories that people can talk about dealing with fear and that can deal with many issues that we can take us even to a different place dealing with it. We can only speak from our personal fears, but everyone has different fears and they have a different story.
Yeah.
So this is a topic right here. Like, I want to do a part two to this.
Okay. Yeah, and then I'll answer back. I won't answer back tonight because he's not on the phone any longer. So I'll answer back, and I'll make sure I remember.
Remember that right there. So tonight right now, man, we're just going to end the show. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate all the listeners that's listening. But just tune in on our next episode, which will be Surviving the Fears of the Mind, Part 2. So God bless you all. I get up with you later, brother. And be blessed, man. And stay
you as well.
Dirty Church Radio.
God bless.
Right. Peace.